message today is God tests the heart. God tests the heart. And if you would turn with me to Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24. This is something we can learn as an example that David set for us, and something we can certainly ask God for on our knees as we're in prayer and communication, asking Him to help us. In Psalm 139, verse 23, it says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxieties, and see if there is any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." God can and will help us to see the things we may not see that could cause us to stumble. And we can rely on God to take a good look at us and help us to understand where we may be weak, where we may have problems, because God certainly will be truthful with us. There have been a lot of things said about our hearts. All of the emotions that go from our heart, all of the things we feel. Even the Tin Man in The Wizard of Oz knew he needed a heart. He didn't have those emotions. He didn't have that love. He couldn't experience that without that heart. And he wanted a heart. That was what he was going to see the wizard for, so he could be and experience like everyone else. Valentine's Day. Barb reminded me. I said this morning, well, Valentine's Day will be coming up. That shows how much I know about Valentine's Day. Valentine's Day is not coming up soon. I think it's in February. But anyway, Valentine's Day is a big deal for a lot of people out in the world because it's a day they express their love. They open up their heart. Spend billions of dollars on hearts and candy and taking their loved ones out to dinner and expressing that love, that emotion from their heart. The heart is a source of love between people. How many of us have had our hearts broken because we felt that love for somebody, they didn't feel it back, and our heart just broke, especially in junior high. I mean, that was real love in junior high, right, guys? The girls, not so much, but the guys, yeah. But many of us had our hearts broken because that person that we had those feelings for, those emotions for, didn't have those feelings back toward us. So our heart was broke. So today, my message is about our heart. And I borrowed some of this information from an old sermon from Mr. Roy Halladay. And I've been thinking about the heart and our emotions and everything the heart does and how it works and touches every part of our being. And then when I came across his sermon, I thought, well, let's borrow some of that. But the heart is an amazing thing. Without it, I'd be looking out at, well, I wouldn't even be looking out, because I wouldn't be here either if none of us had a heart. But what the human heart is and what it does is amazing. Our heart is, on average, 5 inches long and weighs 9 to 11 ounces. It's about the size of our fist. Not very big. Our heart is a muscle that pumps 17,200 quarts of blood a day through our system. And that equals 6,278,000 quarts of blood a year that's pumped through our blood veins. And that equals 439,460,000 quarts of blood pumped through our blood veins during a 70-year lifespan. It's a lot of blood. That's a lot of pumping for a little muscle to keep us alive, to keep pumping oxygen, fresh oxygen through the blood into our system so that we can function, to keep us healthy, keep us thinking, keep us moving. Our cells need that oxygen to live and function. And our heart is what delivers that oxygen through every cell in our body. But as human beings, physically, we suffer from many heart-related diseases. And heart-related diseases that can cause death. And it does cause the death of over 1 million people a year in this country. It's the number one health problem in America. Heart disease. It's estimated that over 55.8 million people in the United States suffer from heart disease of some kind. And in the U.S., a person dies every 34 seconds from heart disease. That's 2,500 people dying each day. And there are almost 6 million people admitted to hospitals every year for heart-related problems. 6 million people. And except for the year 1918, and you may have the answer to this, but except for the year 1918, since 1900, heart disease has been the number one killer in the U.S. So all but 1 year. And someone let us know what that was, because I didn't have time to look it up to see what happened in 1918, but it was influenza, yes. Yeah. It was an epidemic. But other than that year. And we all pray for good health. We certainly do. We all want good health. We want to be able to function normally and do the things we want to do. And the fact is, we can have a healthy heart or a good heart. Or a bad heart. We all fit into one of those three categories. And many people do everything they can to maintain good health. Some people are fanatics with exercise, with diet. They do everything possible to maintain good health. But sorry to say, the majority of the people, including me, don't do all they can do to maintain their health and a healthy heart. We all need to exercise more than we do. We all need to maintain a healthy weight more than we do. Our eating habits can be a real nightmare to our system. Stress. And boy, is this world stressful. But stress, along with other genetic factors, can cause problems with our heart as well and bring on heart disease. Could you or I have a physical heart attack? Yes, we could. Could you or I be physically crippled by having a heart attack? Yes, we could. But what about the spiritual condition of our heart? What's that like? How do we know what condition it's in? How can we tell? And what can we do? Could you or I have a spiritual heart attack? Yes. Could we be crippled by a spiritual heart attack? Yes. So how healthy is our spiritual heart? Something we need to take a look at. Just as we would our physical condition, we need to take a look at our spiritual condition. We could be suffering from a spiritually weakened heart and not know it. Many times, people have heart attacks and had no idea there was an issue at all. They didn't experience any problems beforehand, didn't know there was a problem, and all of a sudden they've had a heart attack. Well, that can happen to us spiritually as well. We need to be aware of what we're doing, how we're maintaining our spiritual health. But what are the signs of a spiritually unhealthy heart? Well, let's begin by taking a look at why God had to bring the flood on the earth to destroy everyone except Noah and his family. Let's look at Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to be looking at this from God's point of view. Not from a human point of view, but from God's. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5. Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every, not a few, but every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. What a condition to be in. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart, God's own heart, hurting because of his creation. Genesis 8. Genesis 8. And in verse 21. Genesis 8, verse 21. And the Lord smelled a soothing aroma. Then the Lord said in his heart, I will never again curse the ground for man's sake. Although the imagination of man's heart is evil from his youth, nor will I again destroy every living thing as I have done. Even though God made that decision to never again destroy man, he understood, I've got to do something. They need help. Their heart's sick. It's not functioning properly. Their heart is evil from their youth. Let's turn to Matthew 15. Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15. And in verse 7. Matthew 15 and in verse 7. Matthew 15 and verse 7 says, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. These people who were worshiping God were only doing it through lip service. They didn't have that emotional tie that they could only have through their heart, and that connection with God that they could only have through their heart. They weren't feeling that. They only gave lip service, and we've seen that before. Sounds good, looks good. There's nothing to it. In verses 17, it goes on to say, do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and it's eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and that they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Spiritually here, what comes out of our mouth defiles us. When we don't love God with our whole being and serve God and obey God with our whole being, we need to let our brain kick in before we open our mouth sometimes. Let our heart help us in what we're going to say, and to make sure that what we're saying is pleasing to God. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2 and in verse 2. Ephesians 2 and in verse 2. In which you, talking about us, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, among whom also we all once conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, just as others. Again, a description of who we are, who we were before God called us, before God began to work with us. Satan was leading us around. We were held captive to his ideals, his sin, his direction, his world. Satan is always trying to feed us with unhealthy food, always trying to shove something down our throat. And if we take his food, if we listen, and if we do things his way, and work on a steady diet of what he's feeding us, we will sooner or later damage our spiritual heart because it's contrary to God's word, which will keep us healthy. Matthew 13. You know, we can set two plates on the table. One plate with salad, all healthy stuff. And then over on the other side, we can put a big plate of chili cheese fries. Now, I don't know about you, but those chili cheese fries are looking awful good. But a steady diet of that, we're going to pay for it. But that's how Satan works. We've got God's word here. Salad that's good for us, will help us, keep us healthy. And we got Satan's way over here, which makes us want to just chow down because we know, man, that goes down and it tastes good. And we don't think about it. In the end, it's going to destroy us. It's going to give us an unhealthy heart. It's going to cause some damage. So how can we make sure our spiritual heart is healthy and stays that way? What are the signs of a spiritually unhealthy heart? Well, there are ways we can tell. But we have to understand and know our heart. We have to understand ourselves. And we can do that. If we look at God's word, God describes us pretty good. He knows us. He knows our heart, and he helps us to get a better understanding of who we are. Man's heart in its natural state can be as described in the scriptures. Psalms 39:5 says, man's heart at its best is all vanity. Man's heart at its best is all vanity. Jeremiah 17:9 says, man's heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Deceitful and desperately wicked. Isaiah 64:6 says, man's heart is like filthy rags. Man's heart is like filthy rags. And Romans 8:7 says, man's heart in a carnal state is enmity against God. Does things contrary to God. Anytime we begin to think we know better than God, and we start doing things contrary to God's way, disobeying God, we find ourselves in trouble. And as we're doing that, we're damaging a very important muscle in our spiritual life. And God knows that man's heart, man's human heart has to be healed. It can't go on in a carnal state, in a human state. It's got to be changed. It's got to be dealt with. It's got to be taken care of. And God, as the creator and physician, can do just that. The medical profession today can do so many things to handle and correct heart problems. And we've seen that with Barb's, the thing she's went through with her heart, and some of you others had as well. And how the heart, when it malfunctions, can cause a whole lot of other problems. When Barb's heart gets out of rhythm, it will take her a week to recover. Because the heart is such an important muscle. And the minute that quits doing what it's supposed to do, all of your other functions are affected. But today, we have bypass surgery. In a clogged artery, the doctors can go in and bypass. Get that blood flowing again. Get that blood pumping through the heart. They place stents or balloons in the blood veins to keep them open when they're clogged or when they're collapsed. And they even have heart transplants. Can you imagine that? I mean, we're so used to that, but can you imagine that? What would people think that, you know, when they're resurrected and they talk about, well, like we took his heart out and put it in this guy. But it's amazing what they can do. But they do that. Pacemakers help keep the heart beating like it should. Little battery deal in there. Keep it going. It's amazing what can be done to keep that heart working properly. All these with treatments, all these treatments are good, but then the person has to do the hard part. The most difficult part. They have to change their eating and exercise lifestyles. They've got to change that. Because now they can't eat all those chili cheese fries. Now they've got to get up out of the recliner and do something. That goes along with a healthy heart. And that's difficult to do. But it has to be done. Better diet, more exercise. God's the one that can truly heal our hearts both physically and spiritually. God can do that. Let's look at Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel 36. Ezekiel chapter 36. Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. Ezekiel 36 and verse 25. Then I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart. That's a big ant. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone. There we go. I'll have to pray about that later that I didn't hurt him. But I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. God will give us a heart transplant. Only His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, will be what heals our heart. It will guide and direct our emotions coming from our heart toward God and toward our fellow man. God heals us spiritually by giving us that heart transplant. He will put a new heart in us along with a new spirit. His spirit. Not the spirit of the world. But His spirit. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. Romans chapter 2. And in verse 28. Romans chapter 2 and verse 28. For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not for men, but of God. It's not acting like a Christian. It's not mouthing the words or giving lip service like we read about before, but it's having that feeling in our heart of that desire to be like God and to please Him and to obey Him. And that's the way you want to live your life. Our hearts are no longer hardened to God's truth. With God's Holy Spirit, our veins are opened up and the blood is flowing and the oxygen is getting to our brains and other parts of our body through God's truth. We're beginning to understand more and more. But when we're converted, God cuts away the hostility and breaks up the grip Satan has had on our life. And we begin to see things differently. God is our physician, also changes our spiritual diet. We begin to feed on His Word. We begin to hunger for more and more of what God's truth is. Not what traditions are, not what somebody thinks, but of God's Word. And as Hebrews 4, 12 and 13 says, we now enjoy a diet of God's Word. This is what keeps our heart healthy. Reading this, taking this all in, making it a part of who we are. We work hard to get away from the non-spiritual fast foods that Satan has to offer. They're convenient, and they taste good, and they look good, but they're deadly. Just like some of the physical food that we eat today. Enough of it in our diet will kill us. And that's the same way it is spiritually. Enough of Satan's way will kill us. The key to a spiritually healthy heart is eating right and eating every day. Bible study, prayer, every day. Bringing that in, taking that in. So that we're spiritually fat. Remember through the days of unleavened bread, we would hear in sermons that Christ would tell people, I'm the bread of life. I will give you life. Eat what I have to give you. God's word, God's truth, take this in. Because it will help you to be healthy. It will help you to grow and have eternal life. 1 Timothy 4:8 tells us to add spiritual exercise to a daily routine of staying spiritually healthy. That exercise is Bible study. That exercise is prayer, meditation. That time one-on-one with God that is so precious and so important for our spiritual health. When we're physically sick, we go see a doctor. We go, we get examined. The doctor may say, come back in a week, come back in 2 weeks. We'll follow this up and we'll check and see how you're doing. But we have to do the same with God. We can't go once and say, God, I'm experiencing this, or I'm not doing this like I should be, or I'm just not feeling the relationship between you and I that I once felt, or between fellow church members that I once felt. I don't have that desire to live your way of life as I once did. What's going on? We have to go back and follow up. Ask God to give us the answers, and He will, through study, through prayer, through other things. God will give us the answers to what's going on. But we have to go back and follow up. We have to check in with Him to see how we're doing. Has things changed? Do I feel more compassionate about my relationship with God, or my attendance at church, or my Bible study, or my fellowship? All of that stuff is so important to our spiritual health. Am I feeling that? Am I doing that? God may recommend fasting. And He does recommend fasting. And that serves two purposes. That's good for our physical health, but it's also good for our spiritual health. It not only draws us closer to God, but we know how important God is. We know how hungry we get, how thirsty we get. And we know that drawing close to God will only make us grow stronger. But we grow stronger spiritually, not physically. And that helps us to do that. We need the forgiveness, the mercy, the deliverance that only God can give us. And we can get that through our relationship with Him. That's our maintenance program to keep us healthy. Part of that exercise that we do spiritually, part of that spiritual diet that keeps us moving, keeps that blood pumping, keeps the rhythm, the beat in rhythm. Fasting also helps to keep us humble. And that's good for our heart as well. It keeps us humble. We don't begin to think we're somebody that we're not, or that we're more important than we are, or that we don't need God. But fasting helps us to be humble and evaluate our spiritual health. Take a look. Matthew 5:8 says this. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." In other words, blessed are the humble. Those who remain humble, who go before God and say, "God, I need you. I need you to heal whatever's wrong with me. Whatever's holding me back spiritually, I need you to heal that. Help me to understand what I need to do to stay strong." Matthew 11. Let's turn there if you would. Matthew 11. Matthew 11 and in verse 28. Matthew 11 and verse 28. It says, "Come to me," Christ talking here, "come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Turning ourselves over to God. Show me, help me to be strong, to be healthy, to do what I need to do, what I'm supposed to be doing, to help me to grow spiritually. Meek and lowly in heart. Jesus Christ had that humility, and we saw example after example of that throughout His life, of humility. Trusting God. Jesus always gave His Father the credit for everything. He took no credit for Himself, but He turned that over to His Father. Matthew 6. Matthew 6. And verse 19. Matthew 6 and in verse 19. Jesus Christ knew this and knew it worked. Matthew 6 and verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." A strong heart working properly will be there also. Putting God first. Keeping that blood flowing because we allow God's Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, to help us. What we consider important in our lives each day is a good indication of how healthy we are spiritually. What's our priority each day when we get up? Is it God? Is it that relationship with God first? And then we'll prioritize the other things that need to be done. God has to be number one. That's what we said at baptism. God, you are number one in my life. I agree to that. I want that. And that's the way it has to be for our spiritual health, for a healthy heart. It has to be that way. Let's look at Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and we've all read the parable of the sower. Well, this is the explanation of that parable. And it will show what happens when we have a weak heart. What happens when we have a strong heart spiritually. There's a big difference. Chapter 8, verse 11 says, now the parable is this. The seed that the sower sowed, is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. So the devil brings up the chili cheese fries, shows it to them, and they decide that's going to be better than the salad. I'm going for the chili cheese fries. And they do. And it costs them dearly. Verse 13, but the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. They just really didn't get that blood pumping. Didn't get their heart into it. A lot of lip service. They just didn't get that heart involved. Verse 14, and the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life and bring no fruit to maturity. They're too busy. I got too many things going on for God right now. Go to church on Saturday? Man, I'm working. I'm making time and a half on Saturday. I can't afford to go to church. I can't afford to give God this day. Not healthy, spiritually. And in verse 15, but the ones that fell on good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Just relax. Let God do this. Let God lead me. Let God help me. Be patient. God's very patient. Look at how patient he's been with all of us. But to allow him to help you and show you how to keep your spiritual heart healthy and to keep moving forward. God gives us a formula to good health and to keep a strong heart. God wants to know if we will do his will. Or if we're going to do our will. Jesus, as I mentioned before, set an example many times. He was here to do the will of the Father. That's what he did. That's who he was. John 6, if you turn there with me, please. John 6. John 6. In verse 38. John 6 and verse 38. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. His heart was strong spiritually. He was strong spiritually. He was healthy. He had that relationship with God and he knew his purpose. He knew why he was here. And he honored and did the will of his Father. Not his own thing. And believe me, Satan set out plenty of good-looking dishes for him. Especially when he was hungry, when he was first tempted. And Christ said, no way. Man shall not live by bread alone. Wasn't interesting. Because he knew the damage that food that Satan was going to give him, he knew what it would do. through those dangers. And he turned it down. But God has a way of evaluating a person that's different than the way we evaluate people. We look, do they have hair, don't have hair, are they short, fat, skinny, tall? How many of us have heard, and I don't care, you know, God's going to determine who's going to be our next president, but how do they describe them? Well, he or she doesn't look presidential. They don't sound presidential. That's how they describe it. If they sound good and they look good, they got my vote. That's all it takes. That's how we as human beings evaluate other human beings. God has a different method. He does it a different way. Let's turn to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel. Remember how Saul was described? Saul had it all together. Tall, dark, and handsome. That was Saul. But what did that mean in the scheme of things as Saul was king? What did that mean? That mean he was a better king, a worse king? Didn't mean anything. Except people like to look at him. I guess he was good looking to the girls. I don't know. But that's not how God looks at people. 1 Samuel 16 and verse 7. And here's the instruction God gave Samuel. When he sent him out, because he was going to anoint another king of Israel. But verse 7, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at the height of his stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Deep inside us. What is this person really like? How do they really feel? Are they just saying this to be popular so people will like them? Or do they mean what they say and say what they mean? God looks right past the shell to see what really makes us tick. King David had it right. He knew how to keep his heart spiritually healthy, and we can learn from his example. Psalm 40. You turn there. Psalm 40. Again, all of these examples, we really have no excuse for anything because God's given us all of these examples that deal with everything. Everything we have to deal with in our life, somewhere in here there's an example for us to learn from. Psalms 40. In verse 8, I delight to do your will, O my God, and your law, your way of life, is within my heart. We can learn that. We can be like that. We can be like David as we think about God's way of life, and God's word, and his truth, and what we do every day in our lives. God's law must be within our hearts. In order to keep our hearts as spiritually healthy as possible, we must always know the state of our spiritual health. How is it? How are we doing? You know, we are told before Passover to examine ourselves. Take a look over the past year. What's changed? What's went well? What hasn't went so well? Take a look and examine. Just like we do a doctor, we go once a year, most of us, to go and get a physical. How does this compare to last year? Any changes? Anything we need to work on? Anything we're doing good? Anything that's paying off? And when we go to that doctor, we will let him know, because he will always ask us, anything going to talk about, anything going on. But he will always check your blood pressure, check your pulse, check your heart rate, check your breathing. Because these are indications that your heart's in pretty good shape. And if he starts to find problems there, the high blood pressure, fast pulse, an erratic heartbeat, then he begins to look at other problems. And that's like us, spiritually. If our spiritual heart is starting to have problems, it will show in other places. We won't have that desire to please God that we should have. We won't have that desire to fellowship like we normally want to do. We won't have that desire to come here to services like we should do. That desire just won't be there because the heart's weakened. It's not sending the messages clearly. And we have to go to God. God, this is what I'm experiencing. I need you to check me out and see what's going on. God wants us to come in for a spiritual checkup daily. Daily. As we talk to Him, He's interested to see how we're doing. How's the old ticker today? Sounds good. Yeah, you'll be all right. But we ask Him to search for the reason we're feeling down if that's the case. God, I don't know what's going on. I'm just not feeling spiritually well. I need your help. Please help me. Help me to find out what's causing this. And God will begin to examine us by looking at the source of potential problems. And that's our heart. What's going on with your heart? Why aren't you feeling these things? Psalms 55. Again, another example for us to follow. Psalms 55, and it's verse 16. David's talking here. As for me, this is what I do, folks, and it works. So if you want to do this, if you want to follow my example, go for it. But he says, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon, I will pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Whatever it takes, however much communication it takes per day with God, morning, noon, and night, once a day, twice a day, five times a day. Whatever it's going to take to restore our spiritual health. David did this. This was part of his maintenance program, three times a day. I don't know how long these prayers were. I have no idea. But he made that contact. He had that contact with God. God, how am I doing? How am I doing? We may be hurting our heart, slowing down, or even stopping our spiritual growth. And we do that through our thoughts, through our attitudes, through our desires, through our motivations. Many ways we can do that. And we have to check on that. We have to look at those things. Make sure everything's working properly. Making sure the right signals are going out everywhere that they're supposed to. We can always follow that example of David. And there's another example we can follow of his as well. He had that special relationship with God, and he could talk to God, and he knew that God knew him and knew what he was made of, knew what he was thinking. But David went to God in Psalms 51:10, and he said, create in me a clean heart. Created me a clean heart. And we can go to God. God created me a clean heart that's healthy, that's doing what it's supposed to do, that's sending out those right emotions, that's sending out that signal from your Holy Spirit all through my body, and I'm getting it. And it's helping me to stay motivated, helping me to be able to function as a Christian, as a child of God. Having that desire to want to be with God's people every chance you get. And to be fed through God's Word every chance we get. And to grow. And to keep ourselves spiritually healthy. So let's all make sure we get daily checkups. Because that's most important. Because we can begin, like some people do, and I mentioned that earlier, no indication of any heart problems at all, and one day they dropped dead. Nobody knew. Nobody knew. But we know how important it is to get checked up spiritually and allow God to check us out. How are we doing? And show me, Father, in areas that I need to improve. What do I need to do? But we can keep our prayer appointment with God once a day, twice a day, three times a day, however many times we want to talk to God in a day, we can do it. And He's more than there to welcome us. That relationship is personal, as it should be. But God, our Creator and Healer, is waiting. And He's very interested in how is our health. Not only physically, but spiritually as well. So let's think about when we're thinking about our spiritual condition, let's also think about our spiritual condition. How is our spiritual heart? Is it pumping? Is it beating properly? Is it doing what it's supposed to do? And if not, if we're noticing changes, then it's time we go see the master physician and find out exactly what's going on and ask him to prescribe whatever we need to get it back to health.